I'd like for you to join me in your Bibles in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to give you a little backdrop of this setting. The Apostle Peter is writing to saints in several areas of the world. And he tells them, I know you're in a season of suffering. And sometimes you suffer wrongfully. You're mistreated. And then sometimes you suffer because of your own mistakes, your own faults. And he said, there's nothing commendable about that. So this is the setting of the Apostle Peter, who preached that pivotal message on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven to unlock the door of salvation. So now he's an elder and he's writing to saints. 1 Peter 2:21. He's just talked to us about suffering. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So I want to talk to you today on this subject, the next step. The next step. If you don't mind, please be seated. God bless you. The next step. Well, you heard about our Move the Mission Move-a-thon yesterday, and I've been a part of a Move-a-thon most every year since I was a teenager, and love to see funds raised that advance the mission of Jesus Christ around the world. So I love Move the Mission, formerly Sheaves for Christ, and I like to participate in the Move-a-thon. And thanks to everyone who walked, who worked, and who supported walkers, and will complete your commitment in the next couple weeks. And thanks to Brother Joel and his team for pivoting, going the extra mile to make it a great day. It's a lot of fun, but I like to see a cause that reaches the next generation and makes an impact on the world. So it was great. I did my walking in advance so I'd be flexible yesterday to hang out with kids and especially some grandkids and be a part of the picnic and that follows, really not a picnic, but the dinner and the walk-a-thon, and it was amazing. It's one of my favorite events of the year because it's kind of fun with a fundraising cause to it. But I was noticing the pace of some of those involved in the move-a-thon yesterday and reminded me of what the Lord wrote to us in Isaiah chapter 40. He said that you're going to, you know, soar like eagles. You're going to run, and then you're going to walk. And I know what the scripture says, you know, you're going to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. I didn't observe that yesterday. I saw some soaring off the starting line and then running like champion marathoners and then walking and maybe even trudging a little while yesterday in the walk-a-thon and the move-a-thon. And that's just kind of how it is. So walking is something that's very good for you. And if you're going to go through the Bible and look at some metaphor for our relationship with God, walking with God is mentioned throughout the Bible as what our relationship with God is all about. And in the natural, walking is one of the best things you can do. It's something you can do most of your life, you know, with health restrictions understood. It's good for your cardiovascular system, good for your outlook, good for muscle toning. It's just a good exercise that's low impact. And if you read about walking or exercise, one of the keys is daily walking, daily spiritual health, and daily physical health. But Mayo Clinic says about walking physically that once you take that first step, you're on your way to an important destination, better health. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And isn't it boring for it to take a while to get from here to there? Wouldn't you like it to be like in the Bible with Philip, that you could just be one place and then immediately be another, just like that, not have to go through the process of the journey? I love to see when a baby, little toddler, and they're not toddling yet, but when they take their first step, it's amazing, right? That first step is an amazing step. But we don't just celebrate that first step. We celebrate the fact that more are going to follow. And if someone took a first step, and that was their only step, we'd be very concerned about them, that there was something wrong with them physically that they could not take the next step. And the same is true with people that begin their journey, their walk with God, that they might take a step, but they get stuck at that step and no additional steps follow. And that's not what walking with God is all about. Walking with God signifies a close relationship with Him. It's marked by faith, obedience, and a lifestyle that reflects God's character in our lives. Walking is not an experience, it's a relationship, it's a process. Sometimes slow, sometimes painful, arduous at times. There might be hills and valleys. It's not all levels, easy terrain. But this is what our walk with God is. And it is a continuous process from the time you're born again and initially justified by the Lord and saved until the time He takes us to glory. Everything between the beginning and the ending is a walk. You're walking with God. In the Garden of Eden, the voice of God was heard by Adam and Eve walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Enoch is described as the seventh man from Adam. And Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. Noah, the man who built the ark and saved his family right before the great flood, Noah, the Bible says, was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. We're instructed in the book of Romans that we should walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. On Father's Day, I'm going to talk about the faith of our fathers, but we're instructed to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, of a pagan lifestyle, and he was called to walk where God would show him to a land that he would later inherit. So Abraham walks with God. That's what his relationship is all about. And I've already said this, but walking is not an experience like you have on a Sunday alone. It's not just an experience that you have at a conference, a camp, North American Youth Congress, which can be powerful, life-changing, and wonderful. But every experience you have with God should lead to a walk with God, a relationship, a process that always involves a progression and a next step. Experiences are good, but they're better if they initiate a relationship. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, spending time with God and His Word, prayer and Bible reading, reflection, memorization, and meditating on the Word of God and grafting His nature into our lives. Colossians 2 and 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in Him. So this walk with God involves becoming like Jesus Christ. The same Spirit you receive when you receive the Holy Spirit is who Jesus is. So Paul writes to the Colossians, the same way you receive Jesus Christ, walk in Him. Live up to that relationship and the nature of the one who saved you. If you walk with Jesus Christ, it's a walk of light and truth, of moral perfection, the Holy Spirit guiding you. It involves serving God and serving other people, finding your place in the body of Christ and walking along with Jesus Christ. And it's a progression. It should never be digression. Always going forward, never going backwards. In the book of Romans, Paul said that we're buried with Jesus Christ by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we all should walk in the newness of life. I have a new spirit that changes my nature, and it initiates a relationship of a new life that is walking with God. Sounds a little boring, doesn't it? You're not just taking a walk, though. You're headed in a direction toward a destination. You're following Him, and you're walking with God. That's what the Bible teaches. that we walk with God. The Apostle John said that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all righteousness. Paul told the Ephesians that they were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. So we walk in a life of good works or godly deeds, because that's what Jesus Christ put in us when he saved us. He put goodness that leads to good actions and good deeds. The Bible also teaches that we should walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is one of my, go-to verses, because there are some people who are Spirit-filled, but then not Spirit-led. They receive the Spirit, but they park on that experience, and they do not allow God to take them to the next step on the journey to becoming like Jesus Christ that ultimately leads us to eternal life and heaven one day. So don't just think you're going to get saved today, nothing go on in your life, and then one day you're going to get taken to heaven. Now, if you die instantly, that would happen. But if you live, you're going to have to walk. And that walk involves obedience with Jesus Christ and not walking in the flesh, not walking according to your own ideals, but walking according to the dictates of the Spirit of God as it points the Word of God out in your life, walking with God. We walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Which leads me to the scripture in 1 Peter. I told you that he's writing about suffering and walking with God. But in the book of 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, who preached that salvation message on the day of Pentecost, talks five times about how we are called by God to follow him. He says this first calling in 1 Peter 1 is that he called us to be holy people, just as God is holy, that we should be holy. So God calls us to walk in holiness. He tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that God has called us out of darkness and into light. So we are called to walk with God in a privileged relationship as his people, and that we are to walk in the light. In 1 Peter 3, he tells us that we have been called to inherit a blessing. In other words, somewhere down the road of your life, if you'll stay on the walk, if you'll not defect and walk away, God has an eternal blessing for you if you will stay in the process. In chapter 5, the Apostle Peter said he has called us unto his eternal glory, that after you've suffered a while, he will make you perfect or mature. He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Peter is an amazing book of the Bible. But in chapter 2, and I'm going back to chapter 2, he talks about this calling to suffer and to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. He tells us in 1 Peter 2:21, I just want to read it again, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Now, the word example is very powerful in the original language here. It's not just saying, do as you want, but it is like a teacher who would write on the board or give you a piece of paper and tell you, this is how you write a letter. And if you want to write this letter properly, it's like a template, then this is the way you would write your name, or the letter A and B and C and so on in a progressive way. That Jesus Christ left us an example. Now, this is really powerful, because if you follow Jesus Christ and you walk with him, that means you follow his example. It doesn't mean you do your own thing, walk your own way, make your own decisions, chart your own course. You follow the example that Jesus Christ has set for you. And then it says that Jesus gave us an example that we should follow in his steps. This word also is fascinating and very important. It means footsteps or tracks? Have you ever seen footsteps and followed them? Maybe they were too long of a gait for you to reach from one footprint to another. But if you've ever seen footprints, that's what this is talking about. That Jesus Christ didn't just say, start today and end up in heaven, but he literally has laid out a way to walk in our lives so that we can walk with him and we can follow his steps. In that original word, the Greek, footsteps, and also it would be like a track. If you have ever been in the out of doors and you followed a track of a game animal, you might understand this even more. That if you'll follow the track, it will lead you to the end result or the animal, right? Somewhere down the road, the animal that made that track is standing in another track that he just made. And the beauty of following Jesus Christ is that if we follow in his steps, one day the track we're on will take us to the person of Jesus Christ. We'll no longer be on the journey. We'll have reached the destination of eternal life. We have an example of literally following in his footprints, following in his steps. Now, this is what's so significant about this. And I've said this is really what I want to drive home today. That as a follower of Jesus Christ, I can't follow the first step and then decide I'm going to make my own steps, my own trail somewhere else. Maybe you think that makes you a pioneer if you make your own trail, and maybe in life that is. But when it comes to discipleship, Jesus has already laid out the path that we are to walk. You are to walk in that old path to follow the steps of Jesus Christ, not to create your own path, but to follow in the footprints of Jesus Christ. And eventually, as I said, it will lead you to him. The writer John spoke of this in 1 John 2 and 6. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So when I take the next step in my life, a decision I'm going to make, a value I'm going to adopt, a relationship I'm going to pursue, a future, whether it is career or whatever it is, before I do that, I need to think, is this a step that Jesus would take? If I take this step in my life, will my foot land in a footprint that Jesus Christ has already established for me? Or am I stepping off the trail that leads to eternal life? Now, the Bible talks about a narrow way that leads to life eternal. So this is not just, you know, free walking. It is following in the steps of Jesus Christ. What's your next step? Now, if you've never turned from your sins to repentance, the next step is what the Bible teaches is the first step. It is to ask God to forgive you of your sins. And the word repent in the Bible means a change of mind. It's literally turning around. You're walking one way, living the way you want to live, doing what you want to do. But when you repent, you turn from self-will to God's will. You turn from your way to God's way. So now you're not walking according to your whim or your will, but you're walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's what your next step should be, is asking God to forgive you of all of your sins and turning your life over to his lordship. That is your first step in going to the next step. The next step in the Bible is very clear. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've repented of your sins, you believe in Jesus Christ, you call yourself a disciple, but the Bible teaches that there is a step of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is your next step after you repent, and it is for everyone, everywhere. Everyone is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amazingly, three people in our 9 a.m. service heard me talk about the next step, and they took that next step to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the next step. Buried with Christ by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. That is receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, where it is Christ in you that is the hope of eternal life or glory. So if you have turned from your sins and repentance, been baptized in Jesus' name, now God has promised you the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's your next step in obedience and following Jesus Christ to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost today before you leave. It is God's promise, and it is the next step for you. Amen. And I'm very excited that in the 9 o'clock service, a precious lady was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. She told me my first time speaking in tongues, but it won't be her last because there's some steps to follow after that. Years ago, I asked a question in a Bible study long before I came to Atlanta West. Is there new life after new birth? I've asked that question here. Is anything taking place? You got born again, maybe like the little baby, you took that first step, but tell me about your next step. I'm thankful for the steps you've taken in walking with God. Maybe you served the Lord a week or a month or a year or decade or decades, as many of us have. And I'm thankful for every step you've ever taken. You have a history. You have some good things that have taken place in your life. But today I've come, what I believe in the Spirit of God directing me, to ask you, not about your last step, but about your next step. Which, by the way, what about your last step? What was that? Do you know what you just implemented into your life? Do you know what you just obeyed from the Word of God and the last step you took? If you can't tell me your last step, I'm not sure you know a next step. Because it's a walk. And it involves following in the steps of Jesus Christ. I found, just realized that landed really hard with all of us. That's okay. That's the kind of message this is. You know, the disciples of John the Baptist, they're walking, believing, obeying, got baptized under repentance. They run into the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19 in your Bible. And they have a question and answer session. And he asked, how were you baptized? John's baptism. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We didn't even know you could receive it. But they obeyed that. And they took those next steps that were biblical so they could continue walking with God. At Atlanta West, we say, your first step in connecting as a member or committing to a member is called welcome to the family. And if you've never taken that next step to commit 4 Sundays to going to some classes that will help you understand our church and how to function here at Atlanta West, you may love the Lord and grow in God, but in ministry here, you're kind of stuck till you take that next step of welcome to the family. So if you've never done it, I encourage you to sign up, but you might have to wait till August. So you might have waited a little while. But God's merciful. Amen. There's a step following Jesus Christ that's really important. You know, we're making room for you. That's something we've been saying a lot around here. Building a new building, making room in ministries. I preached about this story, Matthew 22, where there's a wedding feast and they go out and get everybody to come, they can come. They go out in the streets, the lanes, they go outside the city. They get people that are halt and blind and lame and maimed. I mean, they're all beat up, but they come to this beautiful wedding dinner that is prepared by a very wealthy man, and they all take their seats in the house. It's like the church, right? They're all at this beautiful banquet. But in the middle of that banquet, the Bible says that the Lord, the owner, the master of that feast, looks down and he sees a guy that is sitting at that dinner that is not wearing a wedding garment. This is a wedding feast. And we're glad you came, but it was kind of the custom of that day. If you did not have a wedding garment, that one would be provided for you. None of us had a wedding garment of the righteous nature of God, but God gave it to us when he gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we can come to this dinner, making room for you, this great feast called the church. But when we get here, we need to make sure that we don't just come as we are and stay as we are. We come as we are, but we are changed by the power of God. And we put on a wedding garment called righteousness and holiness and the character of Jesus Christ. This man was invited, he came, but he refused to put on a wedding garment. He was kicked out of the dinner. And the Bible said a place of outer darkness. And Jesus said it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Because you can be called of God. You can take a step, but you've got to walk with him. And you've got to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. So what is your next step? That is what is so important in the kingdom of God. In my life, you know, raised in church, received the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. At 16, I felt a powerful calling from God, but not to ministry. If you would have asked me when I was 16, are you going to be a preacher? I would have said, absolutely not. I love the Lord, but I don't have anything that God needs like that. I'll be a good saint, but preach, talk to people. I'm about to faint just thinking about it. That's not me. But what God did call me to was a relationship. He called me to prayer, to fasting a day a week, some extended fast. He called me to start reading my Bible in a systematic way. And I learned that my calling was built on the foundation of a relationship. So I want to tell you today that in your walk with God, every person that is hearing me preach, if you've been saved by the power of God, God has gifted you, he's equipped you, and he is calling you to serve him in his kingdom in a place that makes a difference. Amen. So whatever you are in that journey of life, for me at 16, it wasn't go to Bible college. It wasn't preach a sermon. It was build a relationship upon which I can build a ministry that is a foundation for everything I ever do in all of my life. I don't know what your next step is, but today I feel such a strong compulsion in the Spirit to tell you that you just can't stop where you are, that God is calling you to the next step and the next step and the next step. Don't just pat yourself on the back for where you've been, how far you've come. I celebrate that. But today I want to know, I believe God wants to know, what is your next step? Will you put your foot down in a footprint of Jesus Christ, of obedience and following him? That is the next step. Step of calling of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Footprint after footprint after footprint. And I've learned that people may think they're static. They're in a place they've leveled off. Maybe they think they've arrived. But I've learned you're either progressing or digressing. You're either going forward or you're going back. Our human nature is toward atrophy, not toward automatically getting stronger, getting better. Everything you've done in your life, by the grace of God, you've brought some grit to the equation. You've brought some effort to that. Every step you're going to take is going to take the grace of God, but you've got to take that step. God will never repent for you. He'll never obey for you. He has given us an example, and you have to take that step and say, I am going to follow Jesus Christ every step of my life. I'm going to put my foot in a footprint of Jesus Christ that is like his character, his nature, and the direction that he is leading me in my life. The next step is critical to every step you will ever take. So what is your next step? I asked you what was your last step, but maybe your last step was cleaning up your language. Maybe your last step, or maybe your next step should be working on some friendships that you really don't need in your life. Maybe your next step is making some changes in the media that you ingest in your life, you watch, you listen to, because it's not helping you follow in the steps of Jesus Christ that lead you to eternal life. What about your time? Do you just aimlessly waste your time, or are you spending and investing your time in a way that helps you become more like Jesus and helps your life be more productive? Or are you just wandering around like many people in the world, going nowhere in particular? What's your next step in investing your treasure in the kingdom of God and following Jesus Christ? Are you cleansing your thought life? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Have you learned a new verse lately? Have you adopted a new principle lately? I'm asking you about your next step, because what I'm concerned about for Christians in general, and maybe Pentecostals in particular, because that's us, that we can say we went to church, we felt the Lord, maybe we spoke in tongues, we had great church. But I want to know, I believe God wants to know, what is the next step? Are you growing in God? Are you making progress? Do you think you're standing still, or are you putting forth the effort to walk with God? Are you forgiving those who have wronged you? Are you letting go of hurt in your life? Are you taking the next step? Amen. Spirit-filled, not Spirit-led. Spirit-filled may be stagnant. The writer of Hebrews was writing to Christians, and he said, I've got some really amazing, deep things to share with you. You ever heard of this guy named Melchizedek? He said, I really want to write to you about Melchizedek and his priesthood, but he said, I can't. You're dull of hearing. You can't handle it. It's too deep for you. And then he kind of body slams him, you know, in Hebrews 5 and 12. We'll go straight to 5 and 12. For when for the time, as long as you've been in the church, that's what he's saying, you ought to be teachers. You've been around long enough that you should know the Bible good enough to teach a Bible study about salvation at least. Maybe you can't work out all the Melchizedek doctrine of the eternal priesthood. Abraham paid tithes to him. But at least you should be able to know the foundational principles of the Word of God without saying, here's my pastor's card, call the church. You know, find a David K. Bernard video online. The writer of Hebrews says to them, you've been around a while and you ought to be teaching other people. Here, back to the verse on the screen. You have need that someone teach you. And this is a really tough word. Again, but you already got taught this at least once. But the writer of Hebrews said, you need somebody to teach you this again. You lost it. You've already been taught this, but you don't even know it anymore. What be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you're become like those that need milk and not of strong meat. Now, I know I'm just reading the Bible, so if you're offended, be offended at God, not me right now. Okay, I'm just reading the Bible to you today. He said people that are like that, they need a spiritual bottle. Wednesday night Bible study, you know, it's like that. They need to go to a brand new discipleship class all over again, which is wonderful if that's your next step. But if that was a step you were supposed to take 10 years ago or 20 years ago and you're stuck in a protracted spiritual infancy, that is unhealthy, would you not say? And then he explains what a spiritually immature person is like in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he or she is a babe. But strong meat of the word of God, that's the context, belongs to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use, they've been walking, taking steps, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said people who are growing in God have studied the Bible, know principles of truth. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, I won't take the time to walk through this passage, but he said you need to grow in God. And you need to move on past just having to do a merry-go-round around the first principles of repentance and baptisms and laying on of hands and those things that we should know in the beginning. It's time for you to take another step and a next step. And let me pause to say, if you should be past the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s of Christianity, but you're not, start right there. Make that your next step. But don't give up and don't go backwards and don't just say you're okay. But God is calling us to take the next step in following Him. Now, if you might have detected, the purpose of this message is to prompt action. I did not feel led of the Lord to preach a message to help you feel good, although you'll feel better if you do better. And I assure you, it is a practice that I try to preach to myself before I say it to anyone else. Because it doesn't matter where I am on the continuum of salvation, God knows where I am. He may not be as proud of me as you think he is or I think he might be. But wherever I am and wherever you are, from the youngest to the oldest, from the most mature to the most immature, today I've come to tell you that there's a next step for you. And it is important that you take the next step in following Jesus Christ. Amen. If you really got it, please say amen. So I felt like I needed to say to you what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20. He said, "For I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I am not perfect. I'm a human being. But as a leader, as a pastor for almost 30 years, I can say that my hands are free from the blood of everybody I preach to. I've not compromised the doctrine. I've not cut a corner. And today, with a smile on my face, I have preached, and I am preaching the Word of God that I felt so compelled, and I got to a place in this message that I just had to stop. I felt such an overwhelming presence of the Lord that today God is trying to help someone who is stuck get moving again. God is trying to help someone who's been going backwards to go forward again." Amen. So what is that next step for you? God is calling you to follow in his steps. From the first step you take in following God to the very last step you take in following God, it is a journey of obedience and of faith. Jesus said you're to deny yourself daily, right? Take up your cross and follow me, to walk with me. It's something we do every day. And at times, in this journey of discipleship, the next step is a step of a season of suffering. But as the Apostle Peter, he said, if need be, it's for my good. It won't destroy me, it will perfect me. And the Apostle Peter, the same book, said, it is for a season. It is for a purpose. And it is for a season. And if you keep walking step after step, sometimes mundane, perhaps boring, step after step, day after day, you'll be like Enoch. I told you, Enoch, he begat Methuselah, the longest man who ever lived, on record. And after he begat Methuselah, he lived for God. He walked with God. And then one day, something really crazy happened. I only know of one other time it happening in the Bible. Enoch is walking with God. And he's just doing what he's been doing every day for however many years since he began Methuselah. And one day while Methuselah is walking with God, he disappeared. One minute he took a step on earth, and the next step he was in eternity. And he was not, for God took him. You see, our walk with God doesn't just go on and on forever. There is an end to that walk with God that leads to eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. We won't all sleep or die, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, some of us may go by the grave, but some of us may be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians that one of these days there's going to be a moment, there's going to be the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, that the trumpet shall sound, that dead are going to be raised incorruptible, and we're going to be changed. One of these days we're going to take that next step, and the trumpet will sound, and we will go from here to heaven. Amen. We'll go from earth to a new Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. Amen. I love what John said. He said, beloved, we don't know what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of these days, we're not going to just be following the footprints that Jesus Christ left for us. One of these days, we're going to follow those footprints to the person of Jesus Christ and to an eternal reward. So today, my message today is, don't walk in futility. Don't walk aimlessly. Walk in his steps. take the next step. It is leading to eternal life. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise right now and thank Him. And thank Him. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to every one of us about the next step you have for us. We sometimes think, Lord, of big life changes, monumental events in our lives that involve big changes. But Lord, we know that in our walk with you, that it is the incremental steps, the daily steps that shape us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, into your image. That we grow, Lord, up into the stature and the fullness of Christ. We walk, Lord, putting our feet into your footsteps. So today, Lord, I pray. That you would speak individually. I pray that you would speak specifically to every person. Help them really see where they are in their walk with you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to them about the next step. We recognize, Lord, precious people in our church that are infirmed and unable to serve in places of ministry, Lord. But every one of us, as long as we live, are called to follow in your steps and to take the next step. So I pray for that right now. That you would show someone clearly, Lord, and specifically, the next step of sacrifice, the next step of obedience, maybe the next step of suffering, but a step away from an old life and a step toward eternal life. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you receive what the Lord has spoken to us by the gifts of tongues and interpretation to really reinforce and underscore what has been preached today? If you're able, please stand. The Lord said something very powerful just now. If you've wandered off the path, you might have just been one step off a while back, but now you find yourself way off the path of righteousness, that path of the just that is a shining light. Today I call you to that path and I call you to the next step. Would you join me in this altar? Everyone who is able to come, would you take a step, physical step, toward a place of prayer? And if you're not able to take a step physically toward a place of prayer, would you take a step of prayer right now in a commitment to the Lord? Amen.